The Zone is brought to you by CC Power Sports of Louisville, home of Kawasaki, Yamaha, Suzuki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, SSR, and Bad Boy zero-turn mowers. CC Power Sports of Louisville offers the best winter discounts on all motorcycles, ATVs, side-by-sides, and personal watercraft in the area. Beat cabin fever and come into CC Power Sports of Louisville. I-65, 7 minutes south of the airport.
You know what time it is.
It's time for the Zach and Jason Hour in the Zone, powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
Michigan State, they leapfrogged Kentucky by winning this game. They had so many great quad one wins, but at the same token, we thought Michigan State and Michigan would be on that two line once the weekend unfolded.
Abilene Christian shoots 40% from the three-point line. Figured we have somebody like that that's going to be launching threes. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to have to play, and you're going to have to guard threes, which means long rebounds, which gives them second-chance opportunities. We got to play that one. The next games, I'm not worried about. It's trying to keep these guys in the moment.
It's the elephant in the room. I mean, you know, I coached a few of the guys that played for Coach Pitino. It's his son. I mean, I would hope for the Minnesota players and for our guys that the game becomes about the game. Can't control what people are going to talk about or write about or report on, but you can only beat a horse so long.
Come on, everybody.
You're in the Zone.
In the Zone.
The Zach and Jason Hour in the Zone with Big Easy Zach McCright and Jason Alexander.
Those guys are trash. That's what you get.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now,
the Zach and Jason Hour in the Zone.
Don't give me that.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
He leg humps Zion Williamson and Mike Krzyzewski more than anybody.
None of that going on down here at the Sports and Social Club. Just a lot of fun down here at the Sports and Social Club. But yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't. We shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. Nothing going on as of right now like that. Come down today, register to the ESPN Louisville Bracket Challenge here at the Sports and Social Club, giving away $25 gift card every 30 minutes, so there will be two more gift cards given away here over the next hour or so for folks registering on site until 6 o'clock. When registering for the ESPN Louisville Bracket Challenge, you'll receive a card for a free appetizer with the purchase of an entree. That is good today or any time this spring. Plus, Sports and Social Club is sampling its new menu today for folks that come down, too. One winner from today's on-site registrations will also receive a golden ticket that will provide them and their guests with free concert tickets to all concerts at 4th Street Live this year, including the Derby Week lineup, Hot Country Nights, and more. You can spin the ESPN Louisville prize wheel. We've also changed some of those prizes to the Wheel of Destiny for some of our hosts. The prizes on that prize wheel include golf passes, Pauly D tickets, Pearl Jam tribute band tickets, gift cards from Scheller Cycling, and more. There's free bowling all day, and there is a basketball goal outside with a basketball and a couple of lines that are marked on the concrete that we say may or may not be the free throw line and the three-point line. Regardless, you can make a free throw. You get a free round of bowling or a free game of bowling. What do they call that? I'm not really sure. Round would be golf. Game would be whatever.
I think it's a game.
Okay, great. They give you nine frames.
You bowl a 300 game.
Give you nine frames. They'll give you nine free frames for you. And if you get two strikes at the end or a spare, they'll give you an extra one. Maybe an extra bowl just for that, just for being that good. That's if you hit a free throw. If you hit a three-pointer, they will hook you up with a $25 gift card. Not exactly regulation size out there for the goal and the free throw and the three-point shot. The goal is roughly 8 feet. And the ball, I would say, is a tad smaller than the 28.5, which would be known as the women's basketball, the 28.5. So you've got a smaller goal. Yeah. You've got a smaller ball. Yeah. And
the chances are looking pretty good.
It's essentially a pop-a shot.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
I lined up for a free throw, and I'm like, it was like the Rainmaker, and here comes along came Pauly. You know, it's like, Rainmaker, making it rain. It goes over the backboard. I'm like, oh, yeah, this isn't an actual free throw, not an actual ball, and it's 8 foot. So then it's like pop a shot. You're like, now I need to shoot it from if I was like in the middle of
bring
the lane.
Bring five balls. Hurry.
Yeah, that's right. Please. How many can you make in 30 seconds? I don't know. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. One guy stepped up there to the free throw line, backboard in. Next guy stepped up to the three-point line, or the same guy, moved back to the three-point line, backboard in. All right, I'll take my prizes. Thank you. He's like, why would you go and try to swish it? Just hit the backboard and it's going to go in. I'm like,
Not bad.
Good idea.
I don't know that he was trying to do that. I mean, again, he's stepping up. No warm-ups, you know. It's a smaller ball, 8-foot goal. Who's really got the range of just throwing it off the backboard on an 8-foot goal?
You're giving away quite the tip.
We want to give away.
You're ready to give away.
It's not like if they've got extra gift cards, I get them when I leave. If that was the case, you have to shoot left-handed.
It's a totally different station than the ones I used to work for.
Oh, dude, there was earlier today.
Any leftovers are mine.
I told the story at the beginning of the show that there was a guy earlier today that came up. And it was very funny because he was trying to make it. He had some disabilities, and so he's stepping up at the free throw line and he's not making it. And they're like, all right, one more shot. And the guy that was helping administer the free throws and the 3-point shots was walking toward the goal to grab the rebound for when this gentleman was shooting. And he stopped his free throw routine and went, and motioned for him to move out of the lane. Move, out of the way. And we all just lost it. It was so good. I mean, he didn't come close to making it. He was 100% serious as he can get out of the way. Like, I'm shooting a free throw here. Don't try to mess me up.
Which way would have been funnier? That or if he was, like, doing it as a funny
No, bit? I love that it was as serious. I love that it was serious. Like, he was taking that shot as if it was the last thing.
Yeah.
It was huge.
March
and he
Madness,
didn't,
baby.
You can't be in the lane, guy. If you're in the lane, I get another shot. That's called a lane violation. You realize that, right? Okay.
You know, the imaginary lane with no line.
That's right. I wanted him to make that shot so bad. But that was one of the things that happened earlier. It was great. It was pretty good. Very funny.
Like
yes.
It.
So that's still going on for another 52 minutes or so. You can come down here and shoot some free throws or three-pointers. And I'm using air quotes with both of those. You know what? You get the range down, you can look like McMahon or Tyler Hero at the free throw line because...
or Zach McCrite. I kind of fit in that same
Or problem. Anderson. I mean, let's be honest, 91%.
Are we going to get out there? Are we going to do this? We get on a phone line real quick and do a little free throw contest here on this pop a shot goal?
I mean, we could probably have somebody do play-by-play of that, and we can do 10 shots real quick.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's kind of cold.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, I was on Great Day Live earlier. I've got the sport coat on.
Yeah,
I'm wearing dress shoes.
Take the sport coat off.
I don't know, man. I've been working all day. I've been milling.
Yeah, I like how Andy just texted you that picture.
Just out here milling all day, you know, got things to do.
It's a little cold.
So what were you on Great Day Live for?
Well, because everybody else was on the air, I guess. I don't know.
On the air.
They didn't ask you? Oh, no. I figured they asked you.
They asked me to go on the air a couple of weeks ago at Great Day Live when we were promoting the cystic fibrosis dinner that we had.
Right.
And then I was there with Sarah Burton. Who played at Duke in the 90s?
Okay,
is that you would recognize her as she is essentially the Kentucky Derby model. She models the roses, the roses dress. She does all that, but she played at Duke in the 90s, and so we had to serve Angie and Terry and then Denny and Susan Crum, but we had to do that while dribbling a basketball. So we had to dribble across the set at Great Day Live, grab a bowl of popcorn on our server tray, and then dribble back to them, set the popcorn down, then we had to dribble back to the other side. I lost because Terry cheated.
Oh, of course.
She may or may not have been in high heels, so I would say she had an advantage. She probably deserved the advantage.
She
deserved the advantage is what I should say.
That sounds like a disadvantage.
Yeah, she deserved the advantage because she was in high heels, but she played basketball at Duke in the 90s. She already had the advantage.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's not fair.
Legit.
Yeah.
She did, and I think she did this on purpose. I think she Billy Hoyled me, you know, because at the top of the key, you know, Billy, I never make two in a row, Sydney. You know what? I got to tell you, I made two in a row. I never make three in a row. I am not going to make this. I mean, I am feeling
so lucky.
Can
you believe this is happening?
I am feeling so lucky.
Right,
it's like the luck of the Irish, only I'm not Irish, right? So she goes, well, I used to be, she's like, I can palm it. So she's palming this men's basketball. And she goes, what I used to be able to do, I could dribble and catch it. She dribbled and caught it. She goes, oh, I guess I still can. I'm like, I'm not falling for that, okay? I'm not getting hustled, okay? And that's not happening. Like,
sounds like it did.
No, but she did it as in, like, I guess I'll try it. Oh, turns out I can still dribble and palm the basketball.
Wouldn't you know?
So she won.
He used to be able to dunk.
While wearing heels. I'm like, well, you know, I can palm a volleyball.
Yeah.
You know, if I had a soccer ball, I could dunk it right now.
If I can get my fingers inside the seams, I can palm it. That's about the best I can do.
Go ahead and mark that. That's a 5:11 on Monday for Friday to end the week before we head into the Friday round of games.
But anyway, it was a quick segment. I mean, well, I don't know, 10 minutes or whatever.
You weren't on there 10 minutes. You were on the 10 minutes. That's not a quick segment.
You're right.
It's Great Day Live. It's like seven seconds.
It probably wasn't long. It probably wasn't that
10 minutes is like five different things they've talked about already.
It was probably seven to eight.
Boy, I really hope Jason didn't talk over that.
We'll find out when you go back to the recording.
Yeah. I'm actually curious to know as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I you know, I was on with, and I'm blanking on her name. I think her
Angie
first
Benton?
Name is Rachel from Carl Chronicle. And then Terry and Angie. So there was four of us.
You know what? I know her as Snickle Fritz on Twitter.
That's it.
Yeah.
Snickle Fritz.
Yep. I only know her first name. That's Twitter relationship, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You.
I know you. You're
Snickle Fritz.
You're the whatever. You're Round Daddy.
Well
I'm,
see,
I'm
what,
James Strebel. No, you're Round Daddy. I know you.
And you're what, Mingus 22.
That's the best one.
Mingus 22.
And so I didn't like. You know, I wonder what they like. I was like, okay, they know her. So they know her as Snickle Fritz. I'm like, how are they going to introduce me? Like, I used to do radio in this town, and now I'm on for an hour a week with
former
Jason
host
Anderson.
In St. Louis.
yeah. And they're like, he's been in sports media for quite a long time in this area. And I'm like, oh gosh, that's embarrassing. I'm like, I had to go. I just rebounded to, you know, I was looking for a lower third graphic where you just put better looking version of Tony Vannetti. Like that would have worked.
Or Miners.
I guess
Miners been in radio for a long time, you know.
Yeah, I guess I could have done Miners. Vannetti was the better joke because you know he.
You did tell that joke on the air though. Did it land?
Oh, I thought it landed.
Did it real land or fake land? Because it was TV and they were being nice.
Mediocre. It was
medium
a great
land?
Day. It was. Hey, look, it's your local morning TV show sort of land.
Okay, right.
Does it make sense?
Which means any joke is going to land.
Well, not all of them.
Every joke.
Hey, not all of them. I swung and missed on a few.
Did you?
No, I'm just kidding.
Believe me, from experience, not all jokes land on the Great Day Live
right.
thing.
That's right.
They asked me if I was going to be wearing any of the derby hats, and I said I'll be wearing a fascinator. Let's go ahead and serve these people. Let's get this dribbling exhibition out of the way. Why don't we go ahead and do that?
Give them their bag of popcorn.
Yes, all right. And then I believe Angie Fenton said, man after my own heart.
Oh.
After I said fascinator.
Look at you. See? See, so it did land, even in the fake kind of way. Even if it was the fake kind of way,
totally fake kind of way. So, what did you tell him? What was your breakdown of the NIT? I'm joking. What was
you
your breakdown?
You know, I'm not watching it. I don't care.
By the way, and
look, their must win happened. They didn't win it, and it's over.
Well, if the season's over. This is a must win. If you don't win this, your season's over. So you
no,
must
their
win.
Season's already
it's
over.
A must win.
Their must win was Ohio State.
It's a must win,
and their season's over. And frankly. I'm not sure if they beat Ohio State if they're even in. After looking at the brackets.
No, they were one of the first four out. They were like the
fourth.
Third,
they were the fourth.
Fourth team out.
Do you think they would have leapfrogged that many spots?
I think beating
you're
Ohio
telling
State.
Me they're leaping. They're leapfrogging TCU. Who was the 64th team?
You mean
68th team? 68th. Was it Arizona State?
No, it was St. Joe's.
St. Joe's was the last team in?
They weren't. They said it last night.
So you're St. Joe's.
You mean St. John's.
St.
Right?
That
John's,
one. Yeah,
it.
That one. Sorry.
I promise you St. Joe's is not in the tournament.
So St. John's, VCU.
Arizona
not,
State.
Not VCU.
Belmont,
sorry.
Temple.
Belmont, Temple, and the last one was I'm blanking.
No, St. John's, Arizona State.
No, I'm trying to think of the ones that were first
four
out.
I'm sorry.
Oh, TCU. That's where I got messed up. TCU was one of them.
Your boy Jamie Dixon.
Yeah, that went well. Uh-huh. So anyway, I just don't know if you're leapfrogging four teams. You're leapfrogging the other three that were in front of you plus a St. John's. I don't know. But St. John's didn't deserve to be here, but whatever.
Well, St. John's didn't. Neither did Arizona State.
I know. We're scraping the bottom.
I know. I don't really want to talk about this. They don't deserve
to be in. The only thing I'll say about Indiana that I thought was an interesting comment, and this is more about the NCAA tournament bracketology in general, is when the Big Ten this year went to 20 conference games, and the theory being batted around by Big Ten coaches who didn't make the tournament, which is not many, they're saying...
I know they got half the damn league, like three-quarters of the league in the tournament.
Right. They're saying, well, why do we even do this? Why do we even do this 20-game thing? Because... Everybody else doing 18, and they use those two extra games as bye games to play a directional school twice, and then their record looks two games better. And while that point can't be fair, it cuts both ways. If Indiana's two, what if they took the two games they took away were one of the Michigan State wins and the win against Wisconsin. Okay, now you're 6-12 in an 18-team Big Ten schedule, and I don't think you're going to the dance anyway. So
and you're still 17-15.
Yeah, you've
just taken away two of your two best wins
with a worse strength of schedule and probably a worse net. And,
are you even in the NIT?
That's right. So it cuts both ways. So I don't know, but that's the only thing it's the only thing worth even talking about as far as Indiana's concerned. What sucks is they're going to be probably worse next year. And so then
– that's the difference between the two seasons of excitement around the NIT last year and getting a new coach and moving on and hoping you got Chris Mack and being there and rallying around the players because they've been through a lot, as opposed to IU fans maybe –
this is all reference to a caller last hour who
– just wanting the season to be over. I think, for IU fans at this particular time. Zach McCray, Big Easy, is hanging out with us today as we are going up until 6 o'clock. It is Bracket Monday. Last one, and then I want to get into your thoughts on the bracket.
But yeah, I got UK and UofL stuff.
The one thing that I will point out about teams that didn't make it, and I hate talking about teams that didn't make it, so I say that off the jump. This year, they sort of talked about the net rankings as in, like, they don't really matter all that much. Arizona State and St. John's were, 70? St. John's was 73rd in the net, and Arizona State was, 63rd in the net. Like, it's hard for you to talk about the net when it's, Clemson was, 31, and NC State was, 28 or something right. like that, and they didn't get in out of the ACC, whereas Arizona State playing in the trash Pac-12 with a net in the 60s got in and St. John's got in as well apparently out of the Big East with a 73 net okay, but that's all
who knows.
That's all, who cares? But you said you got some takes.
Well, this is the one thing that sucks about coming on at 5 o'clock.
Takes have been taken.
Yeah, I'm sure you felt the same way coming on at 3. But you got
that's,
to talk. You got to
that's
talk
why I did 3 hours last night. I'll
that's
be
right.
damned if at 5 o'clock tomorrow
yeah.
I
Everybody
get all
was
my thoughts.
Your takes.
That's right. You fools. You thought I did that because I wanted to.
Well, let me say overall. Can we now eliminate the theory, which I thought to be true as well? But can we now eliminate the theory that the Sunday, Selection Sunday, the conference tournament championship games that are being played on that date, can we get rid of the theory that they don't matter? Because it was obvious they did.
Until they didn't. Because it didn't matter when Cincinnati beat Houston. Because Houston remained a 3 and Cincinnati remained a 7. And Cincinnati punked
Houston. They didn't move those?
How would they have moved them? How would Houston and Cincinnati still be sitting at a 7 and a 3 when Cincinnati?
Well, maybe they go from a high 3 to a low 3. I don't know. I mean,
well, they're still a 3, though. So,
you're going to drop them below 5 teams?
You're out of
6 teams?
You're a 3 seed that's in the third best one. So it's not exactly like you're a 3 seed in Duke's region. You're not a 3 seed in Virginia's region.
Well, yeah, but that comes down to geography first, doesn't it? I mean, that doesn't come down to true seeding.
It comes down to geography if you're in line to get that geographical preference. But if you're the 4th 3 seed, well, then you're going west. I mean, you've got no – because the 4th 3 seed was
– do you have the seed list there?
Was Texas Tech. I got the seed list right here.
But, you know, in the case of Kentucky and Michigan State, Michigan State won the Big Ten title.
Houston was the number 1-2 seed, or number 1-3 seed. They were the ninth team in the country.
That seems kind of implausible.
After getting punked by Cincinnati.
That seems implausible.
So, but it matters until it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't matter until it does.
Right. The selection committee chair, he said that after it was over with, that the Michigan State win leapfrogged them over Kentucky on the seed list. So,
and Kentucky's
bizarre.
You didn't have to go to East. Yeah, Michigan State, congratulations, you won. Now you get to go to the East and play Duke.
Yeah, and
congrats,
so,
Michigan State.
And then I heard from Kentucky fans afterward, like, that should be our region. We should be in the South. No, instead, I'm sorry.
It would be in the
Tennessee.
East.
Tennessee. I'm talking about Tennessee. Had they beat Tennessee.
Hey.
Had they beat Tennessee. Well, we should be in the South. And I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. But then you would have complained because in the second round you would have had Cincinnati in Ohio. You would have complained about that. So
if I hear any complaining out of
anybody Kentucky-related, get out of here.
If Kentucky's a 2 in the South, there ain't much complaining there. You got Painter and Purdue.
Oh, you know what they would have done,
They
though.
Could have, but there is no grounds or merit for
it.
That.
So, and I hope
you'd be
Cal
in Columbus. I don't care if it's against Cincinnati or not. Kentucky's got way more fans, and it's right there. Cincinnati's what? a stone's throw from Kentucky as it is. There's plenty of Kentucky fans in Cincinnati.
Right.
And it's the same drive there to Columbus if you're a northern Kentucky resident or just across the river. Right. I mean, so it's fine from that standpoint. You're in Columbus, then you'll be in the South, and your teams are Painter and Purdue,
right,
or a very, very underwhelming Villanova Jay Wright team, or Tony Bennett that may not even be in the Elite Eight, Wisconsin that simply has Ethan Happ and Bruce Weber in his raspy voice without Dean Wade.
Can we talk about...
That's the South.
Right, right.
So, yeah, losing to Tennessee. But again, if they beat Tennessee and beat Auburn, I think they're a one. So maybe Gonzaga slides out and they're a one out west, and Gonzaga's a two. Well, maybe that's more
preferable. By the way, are you going to pay up on North Carolina? You had the seven
You
teams.
Had it. You nailed it. Nailed it. You nailed
oh,
it.
Well, a lot of it was Zion being out, thank God. That was lucky.
Yeah, but, you're right. You don't get credit for that.
But half credit. But I just hope that Cal, again, this is all take stealing. It's going to sound like take stealing, but I'm sure other people have talked about this before before now. But Cal's talked how many years in a row, including last week, about how he knows UK will be in the toughest bracket and all that stuff. Well, I just hope 1 year when he's not in the toughest bracket that he just takes it back and goes, okay, thank you. Even if it's in jest, you know, even if he's saying it, you know, sarcastically, hey, thank you for not putting me in the toughest bracket. Just thanks, you know. But anyway.
They have Iowa State and Houston to get to the Elite Eight. Ain't much complaining there. They have a Seton Hall team that already beat them this year, so if Seton Hall wins, there won't be much need for motivation in a, you know, 10-2 game.
Sure.
Since they already lost to them. And Wofford hasn't beaten a team better than Furman this year.
You know what I was thinking?
Wofford's best win is Furman. So, yeah, they might be a nice, fun team. It's like, oh, this is a good team. Yeah, but they haven't beaten a good team.
You know what I was thinking when I saw the brackets come out, I thought of you.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it. That's last very kind. I didn't think of you, but I feel bad now. I didn't even get you anything.
I know. You know, one of these days maybe you'll have me, you know, roaming around, living rent-free in your head, but not yet. We have a potential matchup of two of our three coaches who we put on our poll.
I know.
Of
the matchup is right there.
Babies.
Cincinnati, Iowa.
Cal versus.
Yeah, but Cincinnati, Iowa's in the first round.
Yeah, three of the four in the same pod.
Yeah, Cincinnati, right? Iowa was the first round.
Right out of the gate. And then Kentucky, I'm thinking of if Kentucky was in that same pod because I just got done giving the hypothetical.
But no,
you could have had. It could have been Cal versus Cronin. Is my point,
dude. We were on last night, and Mark Ennis, who's on right now on 93.9 with the Drive, he was on with us last night as well, and he pointed it out, and I didn't even realize it because he was like, look through the games. If you're an official, what's the worst game on here that you would dread doing? And we're like, just looking around, I'm trying to think a different line, like maybe a Virginia game, just because, you know, I don't really know.
It's gotta be a one.
And he's like, it'll pop out to you, and you'll be like, yep, you're right. So we're looking. He goes, Cincinnati, Iowa. Mick Cronin and Fran McCaffrey hate every call any official ever makes, so no matter what you do in that game, you're going to get two of the biggest crybabies yelling and screaming at you no matter what. Because neither of them have ever lost a game their team wasn't good enough.
That's true.
The only losses they
if
have ever suffered.
If you're calling it as a ref, not as an announcer. If you're calling
it
as a ref.
Yeah, an official. That's what right. If I said an announcer, I apologize. But an official.
Yeah, just to be sure.
So a referee having to officiate
sure.
the game.
For sure.
You've got Cincinnati and Iowa. No matter what you do, you are in the wrong, and whatever team loses, it is your fault.
I wonder if they'll call the game more loose just to not have to.
Oh, no, because that's going to have them complain about that should have been a
no
foul
calls.
Down there.
Yeah, you're
what
right.
What about down there?
They're screwed either way.
What about out there? Oh, no, thank you.
But my other big takeaway from the tournament.
The bracket.
From the bracket. Obviously, the whole elephant in the room with Louisville versus Patino. The one angle of that I have not heard today in the limited time that I've been able to listen, I feel bad for Chris Mack.
I agree.
If you go macro here, okay, and I know
– was that a pun?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. But, no, I wasn't trying to be. No pun intended.
Yeah.
But if you go macro, okay.
That time you've intended.
Had Louisville lost in the first round, no one's going to call it a super successful year, but Louisville fans, for the most part, would brush it off, and, hey, we're trending upward. Year number two with Mac's going to be good. We're ready to go. Now, because of the opponent and the proxy which comes with it, Chris Mack loses to Minnesota, and there will legit be Louisville fans that are pissed. Way more than if he were playing Iowa in the first round. Way more. And that sucks. That sucks for him. And it sucks for Richard Pitino, too. I mean, and to a lesser extent, it sucks that, you know, that
But
know,
see, here's what's interesting.
It's not his fault that this all went down.
But we went to, one of the things that I found, and Magic was listening to, I think, I'm not sure, but I found it kind of, you know, surprising that when we went to Minnesota and talked to our guy AJ Mansour at KFAN, that he never really even discussed from the Minneapolis or the Minnesota side about the Pitino and Louisville angle. He was just talking about what's going on in the court. He's like, yeah, I'm interested to see what you guys thought. Well, the first thing we thought is good for Richard, good for Minnesota getting in the tournament and being a 10 seed.
Oh, really?
He was like, there was a time where we didn't think they'd make it. I'm like, yeah, but you guys were going to get in, so who did you play? And then it's Louisville, and it's like Richard versus – but they're not viewing it, at least him and maybe the conversations he has, viewing it through the prism that clearly we view it through the name of Pitino. And when you see Richard and Minnesota, because Minnesota...
I wonder if it's because basketball doesn't matter.
No, here's what I think. Minnesota fans don't give a bleep about Louisville. Because Richard Pitino spent like 3 years there. But he's from FAU, and he might be little Pitino, but it's not connected to Louisville. When Richard took over Minnesota, you had a segment of Louisville fans that started pulling for Minnesota because it was little Pitino, and you wanted to root for him, and you felt good for him, and it was Rick's son, and you like Rick, and Richard, you want him to do well. And so you started rooting for them and liking them, not to the level of Louisville, but you wanted to see them do well. And now Rick gets fired. Now they're playing Minnesota. You view it differently because you sort of had, even it might have been minute, because during the NIT, you had a lot of Louisville fans rooting for Minnesota during the NIT when they went to Madison Square Garden. So it might have been just minute, but you had more of a connection to Minnesota than anybody in Minnesota has ever had with Louisville basketball by Richard Pitino
Didn't
being
Diener
there.
Go? Do I remember that right?
Dude,
didn't Diener follow
I gotta show
Minnesota
you
in the tournament?
Dude, I got to show you this picture. Diener sent it to me last night.
Diener's not getting that same invite this
Drew
year,
Diener.
I don't think. That's
Diener.
A tough one. Tough break for Diener.
Where is the text from Drew? Oh, he sent it to me and Mark. Hold on. I was wondering. I'm like, oh, here it is. Look at that.
Oh, man, that's so great. He's
Drew
got
Diener
his
wearing
Minnesota
a Minnesota basketball t-shirt.
How do you not have that on Twitter yet?
He said,
oh, my gosh.
He texted me, said, the mini marathon last year wearing a Minnesota basketball shirt. But again, see, that's my point, is there's nobody in Minnesota that views it that way to Louisville. They don't have that connection. Louisville does. And so, but I still found it surprising that it was like, oh, they were excited that he got in the tournament, and, you know, Louisville's a good team, and, you know, Chris McNair number one, and they feel like the matchup they can win. I'm like, but who cares? What about Pitino and Louisville? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, it's certainly that's there. And I'm like, from here, it sucks. You're right, for Chris Mack, because on Wednesday, when they're at the press conference, and the national media is going to be there. That's going to be what the thing is. It's Pitino.
Oh, yeah.
It's Minnesota. You know, this year number one. You think Pitino's given any other. But Drew brought up last night, and I didn't even realize this, that because there is a connection between the Pitinos, or at least Richard, and some of those on his staff and around his program that are also have relationship with Louisville, he said that, you know, those people have been around Louisville practices. Like, there's an open sort of door policy, just as like friends with some of the people in Minnesota. And Drew was like, there may not be a team in America that's done more, I'm trying to think of the way he described it. There might not be a team in America that has done more in Louisville's house scouting in practice than Minnesota.
Yeah.
Just by being around the program and going through practices and looking at
they've been there, seen it
with,
all.
With Chris Mack as the coach, like they even have a relationship there, because Chris Mack's like open arms. If you've been a part of the program, come back.
Come on in.
It's all Louisville.
Wow.
And so from that standpoint, it's a disadvantage to Louisville as well. I don't think Minnesota is viewing it through the prism of it's Louisville and Pitino, where Louisville is viewing it through the prism of it's Pitino, and now if you lose, you're losing to little Pitino as well. There's way, and it's the 7-10 as well, but there's way, way, way more pressure on Louisville with this matchup than there is for Minnesota.
We just put a microscope on basketball here, too. I mean, that's part of it.
But it's more, you know, because if they lost to Florida in the first round, you'd be like, well, you don't want to lose to an SEC team, because then you got to hear from Kentucky fans about how good the SEC is. That's probably it. But it's not the added element of now you're losing to Little Patino.
Right.
And there's a lot of people in Patino's court. Like there might be, and Drew brought this up last night too. Drew brought I didn't realize this. There might be some people that were some pretty big boosters to Louisville that were Team Rick that will be behind the Minnesota bench at that game.
Oh, yeah. They'll be hanging out with Rick.
Well, I don't think Rick will be there. He's still coaching in Greece. So I don't think Rick will be there. But they'll be big-time boosters that were behind the Louisville bench for a long time with Rick Pitino that are going to be behind the Minnesota bench, while the current big-time boosters of the Louisville program are behind the Louisville bench. And so you got sort of like a Team Rick, Team Tyre sort of type deal or Team Louisville versus Team Rick type thing going on there in that particular game. There is way, way, way more little ins and outs tentacles of this matchup from Louisville side than I think anybody even thinks about in Minnesota.
I'll give you one more. That the flip side of this for Chris Mack is he might be able to speed up the process or complete the process
of moving past,
of closure.
Does Chris Mack need closure, or does he?
He doesn't.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Closure for the fans, closure for any administration left who doesn't have it. This could be it. I would think more for the fans. If they're still hanging on to, man, I wish Pitino was here. A Louisville win over Minnesota,
in an odd way,
again by proxy, might just close up shop for good. I don't know.
Yeah, it would here's what it would
especially
be.
Especially if Rick were behind that bench.
If UNLV, as they've already fired Marvin Menzies, if they don't hire Thad Matta, and Thad is asking for way too much money, and I don't think Rick would ask for what Thad's asking for because Rick just wants to get back into coaching.
Sure.
So if Thad's price tag is too high, and which it was for Georgia, and that's why Georgia went Tom Crean, so Thad's sitting back and saying, I'll pick the place I want to go. I'm good. I made a lot of money. So I ain't exactly in dire straits right now. Right. I'll pick the spot, and if you want to pay me enough money, I'll go to UNLV. So the price tag for Thad Matta seems to be pretty high. I don't know what pretty high means. There might be some people out there that have reported some numbers. I may have missed those, but I know that they were pretty high from Georgia. They went Tom Crean. UNLV is wanting Thad Matta. If he says no, and then they go and say, well, you know what, hell with it. Let's go get Rick Pitino. And then next year's tournament is UNLV versus Louisville. Then I think you get more into the you win that game.
If
you
playing,
see that guy on the other side shake the hand of the coach and walk off a loser, and your team goes on to the next round. I just don't think we're ever going to see that. Because UNLV doesn't hire Rick, who is going
this
to?
This is all by proxy.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
it still just sucks because, while you're saying it won't happen if he beats Minnesota, we're still saying
it's a no-win situation.
If he loses, there is a little bit of that that's going to stick around.
No, it's a no-win situation. You win, you held serve, and you did what you're supposed to do. You're a 7. You lose. Not only did you lose as a 7, you lost to a Little Pitino.
Yeah, what a
bummer, it's a tough spot for Mac to be in. And I would say, though, I went through on Twitter and did the exercise of, look, man, this wasn't a conspiracy. If you go by the geographical seeding principles,
yeah, I'm with you.
Minnesota does end up in Des Moines against Louisville. That being said, the committee tries to avoid first and second round games. First round games, any rematch, they try to avoid. So that would eliminate Seton Hall from even really being there, but they were closer to Jacksonville anyway. But regardless, they try to avoid if you've played a team twice in your conference. Like, if there's so many teams in your conference, you may have to play them in the second round.
Right.
We saw that with the Big East when they got 11 teams in. It was like they had a first round matchup of like a couple. They're like, no, we can
do
it.
Did they have a first round?
It might have been that. I'm exaggerating. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But
it's gotta be crazy.
But so they try to avoid if you played a team twice. Okay, well, Minnesota has played Michigan twice this year. They've only played Michigan State once. And they're closer to Washington, D.C. by almost 1,000 miles than they are to Anaheim. So both of those things make sense. That being said, it would have done nothing to the brackets by flipping Florida and Minnesota. It would not have hurt the brackets at all. Florida is then playing in a the East that does that has what's the SEC team in the East? LSU is a 3. So they might face LSU in the Sweet 16, might face LSU in the Sweet 16, as opposed to Minnesota, if they win, will face Michigan State, or would face Michigan as the 2 seed if they're a 10. That's going to happen unless they went to Tennessee, but Iowa had preference, so Iowa's going to Columbus, or if they went down to Jacksonville, well, Seton Hall was ahead of them too. That's the thing that people don't realize, that I didn't realize either, that once they get their 1 through 68, those are set in stone. You may agree or disagree. I kind of disagree, but because they go back through and they scrub back and forth, that's what they call it. All right, let's look at 8 and 9. Do we believe that Houston is the 9, and do we believe that that Michigan is the 8? Do we want to move Houston up? And then if they all vote and they're good, they go down to 10. What about Houston versus number 10? And once they get through 68, it's done. So then you're going by geographical bracketing principles, right. And because Seton Hall was one spot ahead of Louisville, and they don't like to do the rematches, because they were one spot ahead of Louisville, the Seton Hall got geographical preference, so they went to Jacksonville. Now, Minnesota would have still been closer to Des Moines, even if Seton Hall was behind, but you could have said, I don't know what would have been different in that particular scenario, but people are like, well, just move this around and move that around. I'm like, they don't do that. They spend so much time breaking down each individual line, and 8 versus 9 or 14 versus 15, 15 versus 16, till they get through 1 to 68. Then they go in bracket and you go, well, why don't we just move Florida and Minnesota? We already talked about why Florida is behind Minnesota. Do we really want to get back into relitigate that? We spent a freaking hour on Florida, Minnesota, yesterday. I'm not talking about it again, Roger. All right. You shut your mouth, Roger. Hey, everybody calm down. Everybody, please calm down. No, I'm tired of Roger's Florida, discussion. All right, shut up with your Florida ass, Roger.
Yeah, we get it. You like the Gators.
All right, chop this, Roger, okay? But
by the way, Chris Reynolds, former Indiana guy, no help.
Yeah.
No help.
But again, that being said, all of the – it would have done – from the Louisville fans,
it would have been no problem.
It would have been no issue to flip Florida and to flip Minnesota, because the only
were they right next to each other on the seed list?
Yeah, it was Minnesota then Florida.
Okay, so there wasn't any in between.
And so what you're doing is you're sending Florida closer to the east, so you're giving them a better geographical preference. They are in Des Moines, the same exact spot for the pod. All you're doing is you're giving Iowa or Minnesota a team in the second round that they've already played twice that they try to avoid, and you're benefiting Florida by going much closer to the east than they would out in Anaheim to the west, even though you already went through and said Florida is behind Minnesota. So now we're going to hurt Minnesota and benefit Florida when we already said Minnesota was better than Florida, because Louisville fans don't want to face Little Patino at Minnesota. Too damn bad. That's what happened in the room. But I can tell you that there wouldn't be any issue of just flipping those if they really wanted to avoid them. I don't think they seek those. Right. I don't think they seek them out, but when they get them, they ain't going out of their way to take them away. When they got that, they weren't like, "Oh no, let's mix that up. Well, let's switch that up." No, they were like, "We got that. Cool. That's a fun matchup right there. That's intriguing." And then CBS and Turner said, "You're damn right, that's intriguing." 12:15 on Thursday. That's the first game out of the gates. You're damn right, that's intriguing. The first game out of the gates,
baby. And you got to bookend that stuff. I mean, if you're gonna put Kentucky at night, you can't put Louisville at night also. So it had to have been – has to be Louisville out of the gate if you're going to put Kentucky at night. The other thing
– and Murray State right in the middle.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah, it's Louisville 12-15.
Is there a trendier upset pick in the first round?
Yeah, that's why I've got to go Marquette.
Right? Just to go against the grain.
Yeah, I feel like if it wasn't for someone on the opposite side like Marcus Howard, that Ja Morant could dominate a game and carry that team. But you got Marcus Howard on the other side that's going to be doing almost the same thing, only they've got better athletes, and Murray State has been able to Ja Morant and sometimes out-athlete a lot of the teams they're going up against, and they won't do that against Marquette.
To be fair, teams have been lately, as of late, not throughout the season, but as of late, they've been out-athleting Marquette even with Howard.
Well, you're not wrong, but Murray is not going. Murray's been out-athleting their competition. Yeah, they're not out-athleting Marquette there. But it's been a sexy pick, and I would love to see Ja Morant in the Sweet 16 against Gonzaga. That would be a blast to watch that. Or, as a lot of people have picked, Sweet 16 against Syracuse.
let me do this, too. Let's do the top 4 seeds in each region.
Okay.
I like doing this game every year. Let's do process of elimination.
Okay. Process is over there trying to eliminate some of these brackets that he's been given. Oh, my God.
Why don't you just give these people an iPad and fill it out?
That's the look of somebody that has been clicking at it on a computer for 7 hours now.
He's like on his 15th glass of water.
He got here at 10 o'clock. He's working on his eighth hour of clicking away on brackets. Oh, that is the look of a man that it has been. You know what? That's the look of a man who loaded up on Wednesday classes for some reason. He's got like Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and he gets out of class finally at 1. And at 12:45, he's like, why did I do this?
I didn't want a Thursday class. I thought it'd be fun to take a day off. Idiot.
let's do process of elimination. On the top four seeds in each bracket, just just give me your two most fraudulent.
Out of the top four seeds of each.
Yeah, just the
region.
Top 16 teams.
Okay.
These teams have the best chance of not making it to the Sweet 16.
I have all of the ones and twos, like Paulie D, in the Sweet 16. So I would say that would eliminate them. It's got to be the threes and fours, because 1 through 8 seems to be pretty solidified as the best team in the country, and then everybody else.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Why don't you tell me?
Tennessee does nothing for me.
I've got them in the Final Four.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not happy about it. I'm not proud to pick Tennessee.
Rick Barnes,
I don't want to see the orange checkerboards in Minneapolis.
Whoever the sixth seed is in that region is going to make it. I don't even
Villanova.
Know who it is. Oh, my gosh, is it Villanova?
Yeah.
They're totally going to make it. Tennessee, I didn't even know who the 60 was.
If Villanova makes the Final Four this year, Jay Wright is not only a beautiful man, he is one of the more beautiful coaches in history. Well, if he takes that team to the Final Four, because we're doubting Rick Barnes, Tony Bennett.
How
I get
do you
all
not
of that.
Doubt Rick Barnes?
I agree. I totally agree with that. But Villanova's team isn't to the level of what those teams are.
Agreed.
But you're right.
Agreed.
My issue with the South, which – It's annoying to me in trying to pick this bracket, is that the NCAA requires somebody to win the South.
I understand.
And so there has to be a fourth team there. I think there should only be three. I think the winner of the East, the West, and the Midwest should be in the Final Four.
Virginia, Wisconsin in the Sweet 16.
I got Wisconsin.
Will be 22-21.
I got Wisconsin winning 22-21.
I mean, somebody will go for two on the last possession.
By the way, if I didn't spend all year saying – you know, is a man of principle also a man of principle if he can change those principles with more data coming in,
sure.
With maturity? The issue there is, like I've been saying all year, like I'm not picking Tony Bennett to go to the Final Four until he actually goes to the Final Four. In fact, I probably won't even pick him in the Elite Eight.
I'm more like that with Rick Barnes than I am with Tony Bennett.
Yeah, but he's been to a Final Four at least. I mean, at least he's been to one before. Just, I mean, yes, it was damn near. It was damn near in the last century.
Yeah.
I mean, it was barely in this century that he went to the Final Four, but he's been there. But so I say that all year, and I'm like, I don't even care what the bracket is. I don't even think I'm going to put Virginia in the Elite Eight. So then I get there, and I'm like, Wisconsin and K-State are the teams I got to choose between, or Ole Miss and Oklahoma are the teams that are going to beat Virginia. Of course, Gardner-Webb could certainly pull off the upset there. Boy, they got a good team. That number 16 on Gardner-Webb, he could play for anybody in the country.
That number 16.
Play for anybody in the country. Plus, their coach is clearly in line to get a bigger job. I got to pick Wisconsin or K-State to beat them. Like, it sucks. Like, if I looked at this bracket, I'm like, well, yes, Virginia's going to the Final Four. Of course. But if I don't have Virginia going to the Final Four, well, I certainly don't have Wisconsin going. Ethan Happ ain't carrying a team to the Final Four. If he does, college basketball should stop. Okay, we should stop playing college basketball if that happens, okay? You can't have Zion on one side carrying somebody to the Final Four and Ethan Happ in another region carrying a team to the Final Four. It doesn't work like that. And K-State has Bruce Weber, and his raspy voice isn't dragging a team to the Final Four unless Bill Self recruited the players, okay? So that ain't happening. And then you got a lesser Villanova. You got a Purdue that's also got Matt Painter and Carson Edwards that has been struggling as well. So maybe Carson Edwards goes ballistic. And then you got Tennessee that, you know, has beaten Kentucky twice.
You know what's funny?
You know, has taken care of Gonzaga.
You know what's interesting about this?
Has been upset in the tournament before.
What's interesting about that region is that we talk about how crappy it is, and
It's the choke coach region.
You're right. That's what's at play there. But I'm looking. I can't do the math on air, but that looks like the region with the most major conference teams in it, and we're talking about it being the worst.
What do you consider major?
Power Five.
What about six with the Big East? Does that count?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Power Six?
Yeah.
The Big Six? Do we call them Power Six in basketball?
Let's call them
Big
Six.
Power Six.
Power Six.
Then we get confused, and it's Power Five, and it's Big, and then it's Power Six, and we're like the conferences that are the Big 12 that has 10, and the Big 10 that's got 78, and the Pac-12 that's got 15.
So 13 through 16.
No wonder the Chinese are better at math than we are.
13 through 16 are all low major.
We've slid down to 47th in the world in math. Why is that? Well, the Big 12 has 10 teams. The people running universities can't even count how many teams they have in their conference. Regardless.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
I'm just stalling while he's counting, by the way.
Five, six. Yeah, so the West has six. I count the South with five. The 13 through the 16 seeds are all low major, and the 11, St. Mary's. There's six in the West. Let's see.
Which one are you going to do, Midwest or East? And I'll do the other one.
I'll do East.
Okay.
All right, let's do counting on air. Ready?
One.
Time for counting on air, everybody.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Eight power six seven, teams in the Midwest.
Eight. Eight power six teams in the East.
So that's eight and eight in the Midwest. The West had
nine, and the South has 11.
Power six teams. Wow. So they gave them power six teams with coaches that underachieve.
Correct.
Yes. And
the weakest 11 power six.
Yeah, and the other regions got lower teams that Dick Vitale would say rewarding greatness. You should reward greatness to get in the tournament and not these middling Power 6 conference teams, which I don't necessarily disagree with the mid-majors as opposed to the middling Power 6 teams, but don't call it rewarding greatness when
yeah,
you didn't,
right.
you know, right. you didn't put, you know, if Belmont didn't get in.
Oh, you know, why do you keep Belmont in? They sing in their school. They're such great singers. They shoot the three ball. You got to reward greatness.
But they went 26-5 in a really terrible.
I don't care. They're great.
An odd thought looking at that South region. People talk, and rightly so this year, about how Kansas got like the luckiest draw of the tournament, being a four seed.
Well, I don't think they got the luckiest draw. They just got ridiculously geographical preference.
I guess that's what I meant. In terms of the geographic draw, as a four seed, Kansas should not be playing in Kansas City. They are. That's extremely lucky for them, even if the matchups are terrible for them. But this is like the second year in a row that Bruce Weber and Kansas State are in a position where you're looking around them. Last year was kind of by happenstance that things just completely broke in their favor. But, I mean, you look at the teams that are ahead of them right now in that choking coaches region. This could very easily be like another Elite Eight run here for Kansas State that just kind of has
100%.
No reason being there. And somehow they're going to end up as like, you know, a Final Four team. How did Kansas State get here?
100%. Kansas State has every chance in the world to be in the Sweet 16 and taking on Virginia here at the Yum Center, and that's a team that won the Big 12. That's a team that was the number one team in the Big 12 tournament. They didn't win the Big 12 tournament.
I also
they
keep
lost
forgetting
Iowa State.
That they actually won the regular season tournament.
Yeah, right.
Well, the thing is, though, they had a 5-point lead with a minute and a half to go against Iowa State, and I think they gave up like a 7 or 8-0 run like that fast because Iowa State can do that. And that's what's going to be fun if Houston and Iowa State match up in the round of 32, because that there's going to be 150 possessions in that game. It's going to be like, you know, Loyola, Marymount, and Michigan back in the day.
That's going to be fun.
That game that was like, what, 142 to 130 something that
that's
was amazing.
Gonna be fun.
It's not going to be that, but that's going to be a blast. But you are talking about, you know, Kansas State that had the lead on, and I know Kansas State's a 4 and Iowa State's a 6. So you're like, wow, they were leading a 6 seed and they're a 4 seed late in the game. Okay, I get it. But Iowa State ends up beating Kansas as well and wins the Big 12. Yeah, Kansas State can beat Wisconsin. Kansas State can be in the Sweet 16. I'm not saying they can beat Virginia, but if Virginia were to fall short of the Sweet 16, which would not be like some sort of a crazy thing to happen, then, yeah, Kansas State.
Who do you feel is more fraudulent, Kansas or Kansas State? Those are two of the four seeds that we were talking about.
Fraudulent, I would say Kansas.
Me too.
Because Kansas State doesn't have the athletes and the players and the draft picks that a Kansas does, or the hype and anticipation of how good those players are that Kansas does. And they're both four seeds, and one team is leaking oil.
Right.
And the other team is, you know, still winning without Dean Wade.
Here's what I want to – this is something I want to explore. You've done the tournament the selection process, the mock selection.
I want to do it again. Like, it's been 4 years, so.
Look, I mean, let's not greedy. Okay?
I deserve to go.
People
I'm just
over here, they're just, you know, sitting here looking to brag a piece of paper like me.
Like you, like one of the girls on The Bachelor going up and talking to Colton again when nobody else has gotten an opportunity to talk to Colton
right.
yet. Don't be greedy there, ladies.
Yeah. My turn.
That's exactly right. Can I cut in?
Can't.
No, I want to go back to the mock selection.
No, you may not. Kansas, okay, by virtue of being the top four seed, gets to play, if they make it, to Kansas City.
That's
and
amazing.
And we talked about how crazy that is. Can we not get to this isn't let me start here. This isn't the only part of this bracketing process that has screwed over a team in this tournament. I would argue that Michigan State got screwed.
They did.
Michigan State
they're
got
the second number two
based on geographic
they're the
preference.
Second number two, and they got the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
And by the way, Duke got screwed too because they earned the number one overall seed, yet they didn't get
they
the eight.
They got number six.
They got number six.
Right. That's not fair.
But they don't do the S-curve, and I hate the fact that they don't. I don't care about geography.
Well, I'm not saying,
I don't care about travel.
I'm not saying you have to do a legitimate S-curve, but why don't we just add one more principle and try to make it at least a little easier. I know if you add another, you're never going to be able to put together 64 or 68
You finish
teams.
Your take, and I'm going to do an exercise that I should have done earlier today. But
the ones,
do it real quick.
The ones and the fours, the teams who would theoretically meet each other in the Elite Eight. So the one versus the four, okay? The four can be no closer to the regional site than the one that's in their same region.
I would agree with that. I like that principle.
And the three should be no closer to their regional site than the two is.
I'm good with that. Not giving a lower-seeded team a geographical advantage is perfectly fine for principle bracketing.
Not the three and four. Just not the three and four.
Good with that.
If it happens to be one and two, like if Kansas were a two seed, or if Kentucky were the two seed in Louisville.
Yeah. Although I would take that just because of, you know, local.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Local benefits.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, okay. But I can't – you can't put Kansas in their own backyard as a four. And so, I don't know. And maybe, you know, so then you'd say, okay, well, what four seed would you put there? Well, you can't put Kansas State. That would be really close.
That'd be the same thing.
But
Virginia
you could
Tech
put
is,
Virginia Tech.
You could.
You could put Florida State. I mean,
well, if it's the fourth one, the top four teams selected from that conference are supposed to go to a different region, but they didn't do that with Auburn. I'd have to look at some of the bracketing principles as to why Auburn didn't get sent out west.
So, well, just when you go back to this stupid mock selection committee thing that I won't get to go to, I would like you to go ahead and add
I'd like
that.
To go before you
talk
get a chance.
To David Warlock and go, hey, Zach McCray had a
Dave.
Good idea. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Roger. Hey, Florida Roger over there. Shut
yeah,
up.
Yeah. Hey, D-War.
Is that what you call him?
Yeah, he's D-War. What up, Warlock? Yeah, just run that by him and tell him that Zach McCray said so. So, yeah, I don't know. But that's the only thing that makes me mad. Now, let me throw this out there because I know we're running out of time with Kentucky and you're doing extra recon work over there.
Yes, that's exactly right.
During the Cal, God, I love him. I really do. Just the whole backdrop with the interview last night and all that stuff. And then he's giving you the eye like he really likes his team whenever they're promoting him coming on next and all that stuff. Here's what this is the one thing I would like to maybe even throw up an old late poll. You can revisit the results of this poll question tomorrow.
Okay.
Is it weird? As Coach Cal admitted to during the interview, to be married, live in the same house, but sleep in separate beds. I would like to know what the percentage of that
sure.
poll would be.
I think it would. I think there would also be a cutoff as to like how many years have you been married.
To be fair, my parents sleep in separate beds, and they sleep better that way.
See?
Well, it could be just simply, I'd like to get a good night's sleep.
I want
to
know how regular this is.
They've actually did a study a couple of years ago. I can't remember who did it, but it turns out that couples that do sleep in separate beds just based off of sleep patterns tend to have survey-based more happy marriages.
Yeah. By the way, I did the addition.
I found this way more interesting than Jason.
I'm trying to get through this bracketing principle thing. One of the last things that they do is when they seed the top four seeds,
they have to go through and say,
so Duke is the one seed in the South. They're number one overall. Their number two seed is Michigan State, and they're number six overall. So that adds to seven.
I'm with you.
So you do that with the top four seeds.
And it's got to be
within five. The best and the worst brackets have to be within five. And it is. The best bracket is 31. The worst bracket is 36. Because the higher the number...
If you did it my way?
No, I'm just talking about the way it is right now.
Oh, okay.
The higher the number is the lesser the teams.
Right.
You want to know what the highest or the best bracket is by simply numbers of the way that they've scrubbed
South.
It? Midwest.
Really?
Yep, North Carolina, Kentucky, Houston, and Kansas, 2-7, 9-13, yeah, adds up to 31.
But we're calling Houston fraudulent, though,
the
right?
The South and the East add up to 34, and the easiest one is out West. It adds up to 36 of their teams. All right, let's get to a sound bracket. Oh, I mean, excuse me, the not sound bracket, but the what do we call this thing? Flow chart? What do we call this thing, huh?
The
what
hashtag are we doing here? Conversation flow chart.
Totally checking out on our,
he
on
really
our hours.
I just did 5 minutes of math. Out. You think I'm going to be able to continue a conversation at that point? I don't do math before
I'm
I go
the
on the air.
Getting,
he's got a fair
giving
point.
Hot takes, and he's just over there going, talking, oh, yeah, whatever. Sound bracket.
It's Selection Monday at the Sport and Social Club, and you're talking about marriages. Sleeping in the same bed or not?
Hey.
Give us a call. Dr. Phil, you're standing in the Chinese line and you've got no duck sauce. Like, thanks, Dr. Phil. I don't know what that means, but I appreciate the tip there, bud. Go ahead, Magic. Add that Dr. Phil reference to the end.
I will do the best I can. Hashtag conversation flowchart in the Zach and Jason hour on a Monday. The 680 Wheel of Destiny. Free throw strategies. To backboard or not to backboard. Lane violations. Imaginary lane lines like imaginary Indiana postseasons with Archie.
Wait a minute. No editorializing the flowchart.
Oh, he does it all the time with me.
The TV gloss for Easy and Jason. Billy Hoyled ya. How good are morning talk show jokes? Not very good if they're from Jason. IU just missing the big dance. Easy wrong about Jamie Dixon. IU fans just wanting it to end. Easy not here for UK fan complaints. Easy thinking of Jason on Sunday night. Angry Coach 1 versus Angry Coach 2.
Yeah.
Games refs want no part of. Macro, parentheses Drake laugh. The added pressure of not losing to Patino. Familiarity breeds rivalry. Minnesota not worried about Mac. One-way pressure. Hold serve or get busted if you lose. Florida Roger. Sexy pics of Murray over Marquette.
Florida
Bracket
Roger.
Breakdowns at 5:43. Someone having to win the South. Choke coach region.
Yes.
The open road for K-State. Kansas getting the geographic kiss. Easy getting barred from the mock committee. Swaggy Sunday Cal. Math ruining Jason. Sleeping in separate beds. And Dr. Phil references.
Thank you very much. Tomorrow we'll be at Dave & Buster's. Come out to the brand new Dave & Buster's Mall St. Matthews. That is tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. to fill out your brackets. Win hourly prizes such as game cards. Chance to win a VIP room at Dave & Buster's. For you and your closest friends, an app and drink special. I'm disappointed. I never got to the story of the interaction that took place over the weekend with me. Maybe we'll tell it another time, maybe tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? Tease people for 24 hours?
Maybe continually. I'm not sure.
Did you see the Zion imitator on Twitter?
I did not, but I got to check it out.
Oh.
Is that the guy that does like the James Harden and the Kobe imitation?
It's not the same guy, but it's the same thing in theory, right?
I got to check it out.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I got to check it out.
Somebody tweet that at Jason.
I will do that. I will check that out right now. Thank you, Magic. You're the man. Thank you, Easy. I appreciate it. You know, you're not going to be there at the player pool tomorrow night. That's too bad. We'll go ahead and we'll pour one out in your honor.
Oh, God bless you.
I'll go ahead and give myself the first pick in your honor. I'll take Zion, please. And that's it.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.